Lord, you split the sea that we could walk right through it. And our fears are drowned in perfect love. You have rescued me so that we can stand and sing that we are children of God. And we come to you this morning, Lord, with our hearts open, our desires are known, and we know, Lord, from you there are no secrets. And so we pray for this next few minutes that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you could cleanse our thoughts, that each one of us here could perfectly love you and worthily magnify your name forever and ever. We ask and pray these things. Amen. Please be seated. Our reading this morning is from the 143rd chapter of the book of Psalms, written to us. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, for I am trusting in you. Show me where to walk, for I give myself to you. Rescue me from my enemies, Lord. I run to you to hide me. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your gracious spirit lead me forward on firm footing. This is the word of the Lord. I have learned so much the last 4 months that you'll see the title of this message is a new kind of freedom. And what I've learned in 3 or 4 months since I've stood before you is I've had so much more time to spend with people, to learn about people and learn about myself. And the only way I can kind of illustrate this is very often God has to take us to a new vantage point to see something from a higher level, because for so long we've been looking at a ground level. And let me just give an image. Let me give an illustration that is the best way I can kind of describe what's happened the last 3 or 4 months, this accelerated learning for me. There's not a day that doesn't go by that I don't drive into and see these crosses out front out here. I remember when I first came to interview here, when I saw that, it was just kind of an overwhelming aesthetic to come in and see that, that the cross and those crosses are the central part of what our church believes, what we're about. It doesn't take long, though, before you just kind of drive past them, you don't begin to notice them. And what God has to do is he has to take you to another level. Okay, so Clayton Collin did this for me the other day. God has to elevate you above to see things you never would have seen from a ground level. And so what begins to happen is God will show you things in the most unexpected places, in the most unexpected times. And one of the greatest places that you and I can arrive in life is when we begin to see things from a different vantage point that gives us insight to give a greater picture of what is going on around us, and I would dare say what's going on inside of us. You know, I couldn't have seen this 4 months ago. I would have seen from a ground level. And what I now know is because life is going so fast, and I was working so hard, it is so easy to miss what is important because we are running so fast. Life is a blur. We don't notice what's on the side of us because we are going 60 miles an hour. And what I know now is if we want to walk like Jesus, if we want to walk in his footsteps, we have to learn to walk with Jesus. And very often we are running while he is walking. And the culture and climate we live in makes it, I don't know about you, it makes it virtually impossible to walk. Have you noticed that? And we are built on moving fast. We are a culture that's built and designed to go 60 miles an hour. And of course, when you're going 60 miles an hour, it is so easy to miss the obvious, to miss what's around you, to miss people, to miss the main thing, to miss what's important. And, you know, if you had talked to me 4 or 5 months ago, if you told me what is your greatest calling in this church, I would have said 4 months ago, in my 8 years here, not only my 8 years before that, my greatest calling, my greatest focus is bringing people the good news of the gospel through preaching and teaching. what I'm doing right now. And you got to know, I love doing this. I cannot wait to get up here on a Sunday morning. It's a huge passion of mine. But what I've kind of come to realize, this is a one-way street. This is not dialogue. Very often I'm talking at you, not with you. And by the way, this is safe. I can be somewhat vulnerable. You don't have to be vulnerable. We're not sharpening one another. And so 3 months ago, 3.5 months ago, all this was taken away. And I thought in the beginning, this is going to kill me. What am I going to do? Now that I've actually had a chance to slow down and to be a part of people's lives with time, that's the thing that you cannot buy. With time, I'm learning so much more about you and about myself because I am talking not at you, I am talking with you. Every single day for the last 4 months, I have been calling at least 5 or 6 people a day on the phone. And here's the thing about it. I had to repent of this. I realized I was so busy. The only time I ever called people is when I needed something. Some of you know it because I called you asking you for something, right? What about just calling people and say, hey, how are you doing? A huge epiphany for me. And in conversations I've taken with so many people, Christ is taking me, and not only me, I would dare say a lot of us in here, to a higher place. The good news of God has taken us to a higher level. And the more real we become in the midst of sitting with one another. And I would take this even a step further and realize, at least a part of me, maybe I'm just scratching the surface on this, but I realize in the process of having conversation with people, I'm losing the fear of being known. And that's really important right now, and it may be more important than any time in the history of our country. No one listens to anybody anymore. And we watched all this stuff happened around our country the last couple of weeks, and I contact a couple of my African-American friends, and they go, we just want you to listen. Instead of shouting this down, you may disagree with this, you may argue with it, just listen. And I realize that's a microcosm for our entire country. Not just that, everything. Sitting with someone and listening, hearing the story, I'm telling you, it's absolutely fascinating. I think a part of it is a lot of the reason why we don't listen or we don't talk is we have this fear, this anxiety, because we're so afraid if people see the inside of us, not only will they not love us, but they will not accept us. And I would also say our society is built on this. We are built as a transient generation. We're always on the move. We're always on the go. We're very, very mobile, and therefore it's very, very easy to avoid being known. In other words, we are not necessarily shallow people, but being shallow is very accessible. It's very easy. And therefore, if we're vulnerable, it's minimal. And how God has used COVID for me, let me speak of myself here. Is the avoidance of dialogue, always moving fast, always on the go, and their pursuit of happiness, okay? What our country is kind of founded on. What I now know, okay, that I did not know 4 or 5 months ago, is you and I, we are not built like that. We're not built to thrive going 60 miles an hour. We are built much more like what's been happening, of sitting with one another and listening to one another and getting to know one another and speaking truth in people's lives. And by the way, this is exactly how Jesus lived when he was here on this earth. And Jesus' pursuit of mankind, in the first century, he walked, he talked, he connected. And by the way, this is how human history was almost always like this until the last 50 years. Always in the run, always in the go, always moving every 3 or 4 years. That's a relatively new phenomenon in the last 50 years. And my dad's dying, and I'm going to bury him in the family plot. He will probably be the last person in my family who's buried in the family plot. No one, that doesn't happen. We move everywhere. And just to give you an example of this, you know, Lisa and I, we've been married almost 23 years, okay? We have moved 10 times and lived in 6 different cities during that time span. And think about this, 8 of them were here. So take that out. That is 5 cities in 15 years. So do the math. And by the way, we're not alone. I think the average person here knows exactly what I'm talking about. As soon as we get to know somebody, they're gone. But here's what the biggest question I'm asked, besides when we start in church again, the biggest question I've been asked, and this has been like for the last 2 or 3 years, there's not a week that doesn't go by what someone doesn't ask me this. When are you leaving? When are you going to another church? And they're only saying what I think we all know, is that we are a transient generation. We are mobile. We always move. And therefore, here's what I know, okay? Our heart's desire is to plant roots, to stay put, to grow deep, to grow close. And taking hold of the idea of how God sees us, this is the thing that's been the epiphany for me, how God sees us is, yes, God sees us that we are incredibly flawed. We are messed up people. It doesn't take a whole lot to look around the world and see that right now. I don't think I'm gonna get a whole lot of pushback on that, all right? And yet the gospel also shows us, because of the birth and the life and the death and the suffering and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are also incredibly loved. And this is the high calling for each one of us, that we see our fellow man like this, that we see, of course we're gonna see the blind spots that people have. Of course we're gonna see the character flaws. But when you get beneath the surface, when you actually begin to talk and to listen and have conversations that's more than just about the weather, you begin to realize even people who are incredibly flawed, they have these incredible abilities about their life. They have these virtues, what they're good at, what makes them unique, what makes them special, how God has designed them. And here's what I am learning, okay? The deeper you get into someone's life, I'm telling you this, I'm absolutely sure of this now, nobody's life is boring. And if anything, I'm discovering we are incredibly fascinating people. Everybody's life is fascinating if you begin to talk to them and hear their stories. And why wouldn't we be like that? We are made in the image of God. He made us unique. He made us special. He made us for something greater. And when you begin to study Jesus' ministry in his very early on in the first century, how did he impact the world? How did he earn people's trust? He walked. He talked. He connected. He lived inside a fishbowl. He allowed himself to live inside a fishbowl. Okay, honest admission here this morning. Just don't tell anybody that's how I told you this. I've avoided the fishbowl my entire life. I'm now beginning to question that. And here's what I mean by that. 4 months ago, if you asked me what I would have said, you know, my great goal is here is to deliver here on a Sunday morning because people deserve the best of what I have on a Sunday. I'm now beginning to question that. Not to say this is not important, but I realize what they really need from me is the best of what I have on a Monday, Tuesday, and a Wednesday. Because that's real. That's connection. And I know it sounds incredibly weird. I cannot believe I'm saying this. I don't know if I could have said it 6 weeks ago, but I am thankful now for all these things that are happening. It is taking me to a higher level. And I think a lot of you could say the same exact thing. It's taking you to a new place. And so therefore, in my conversations, I'm seeing the gospel from different angles. I'm growing. I'm better. I'm better than I was before because of it. And slowing down makes us present. It makes it possible to touch people, to reach people. Which brings me to this passage this morning that I read earlier, okay? It says here, let me hear, God, of your unfailing love every morning, for I am trusting you. And look, this is the kicker here. Show me where to walk. Not run. Show me where to walk. Now listen, we are a 60-mile-an-hour culture. To be asked to walk anywhere is nearly impossible. But so for God to get us to slow down, something dramatic has to happen. Have we not discovered that? I mean, there is no way that I would have been able to slow down, and God forced it. And I am here this morning to say, thank you, Lord. First time I've exhaled in 20 years. There was a book written some years ago, N.T. Wright referred to this to me years ago, called The 3-Mile-an-Hour God. And it's the whole premise of the book is Jesus' entire ministry was built on walking around Galilee, walking around Jerusalem, walking around Palestine. And the average human being walks about 3 miles per hour. Now, the thought of us traveling anywhere at 3 miles an hour, you know, for anything is absolutely terrifying for most of us, okay, because we got to get places. But if we're walking at 3 miles an hour, there's time to observe, there's time to process, there's time to experience, there is time to know, and there's a time to be known. There's a speed, in other words. Love and being known, it's a speed. And it's a spiritual speed, and it's a spiritual need that what I'm saying to you has been there since the beginning of time. It's been there. God has put it in our DNA. And it's very, very different. This is the pushback. It's very different than the American dream. The American dream says ambition, get, gain, promotion, acquire. This is very, very different. And therefore, I'm pushing back against something that's centuries old that our country has kind of uplifted. And if I can borrow from the great theologian, okay, Yoda, okay, who said, you must unlearn what you have learned. We must unlearn what we have learned. And let me tell you, here's what I'm unlearning now. Here's what I know. My 60-mile-an-hour speed is very different than God's speed. And this is the epiphany, another epiphany. I know I'm giving a lot of them this morning, but I'm waiting to unleash this for a while, okay? It suddenly dawned on me, maybe a couple weeks ago, if we're made in the image of God and we are walking with Jesus, we're supposed to walk with Jesus at 3 miles per hour, maybe this is the reason why we are so frustrated all the time at God, is because we want a 60-mile-an-hour God. I want it now, I want it here, I want it the way I want it. And I want you to know, okay, God does not function like that. God walks slowly. God walks around Palestine. God walks around Galilee. God is doing what God is doing in God's time. And maybe if we slow down, we will actually begin to catch the rhythms of God. I'm telling you, I feel like that's happening with me. And so the paradox here is, in actually slowing down, we are catching up with God. Isn't that fascinating? And for me, the idea of slowing down and catching up with the God is not something I could have ever done myself. And so if our goals as Christians, I want to think the big picture here. If our goals as Christians is to love God and to love people, to love Jesus with all our heart, to love Jesus with all our soul, to love him with all our mind, to love him with all our strength, to love our neighbor. How did Jesus love people? How did Jesus love the neighbor? What did Jesus do? He walked. He walked. He listened. He connected. The 3-mile-an-hour God. And he changed the world. And I got to tell you, he's changing me. It is a new kind of freedom. Let me hear of your unfailing love each morning, Lord, for I am trusting in you. Show me where to walk as I give myself to you. And so it is with you. Let's pray. Lord, you took the time to walk with people. You took the time to sit with people. You took the time to listen to people. You took the time to love people. And each one of us in here, Lord, for a long time have been traveling very, very fast, for so long, that we have often missed the beauty of your image that's reflected in every single human soul. And so, Lord, we thank you for loving us enough to rescue us from the busyness that has robbed us from the ability to be able to love, the ability to be able to listen, the ability to be able to connect with people deeply. And so, our Father, our God, our Lord, in the coming weeks, in the coming months, as we travel alongside of you, show us where to walk. It's in that name and for your glory we ask and pray these things. Amen.